is this whole coronavirus thing has become very real very fast. I remember it was just like a few weeks ago and I'm watching it on TV and thinking, well, okay, China, Iran, certainly, it'll never happen here. And you know, here we find ourselves right in the middle of it. And the government, in order to slow down the spread of this virus, has issued what they call a social distancing plan. And social distancing, it really is kind of like a gentle way of saying separation and isolation. And I guess I'll just tell you, and I've told you before, isolation can be a really, really bad thing. And in general, anxiety and stress levels go up when we find ourselves alone. And because I'm just going to share with you, and I've shared this before, but I want to do it one more time because it seems really appropriate. And that is a scientific study. I used to be a scientist, and so I love science studies. And this was a stress research project that they did with monkeys. And basically, it looked something like this. They took monkeys and they isolated them. And then they tried to stress them out in every way that they could. I mean, flashing lights, loud noises, shaking the cages. Anything that you could do to stress out a monkey is what they did. And then they took blood samples, and they measured cortisol levels in the blood, which is one of the indicators about stress levels. And as you might imagine, cortisol levels were off the charts. I mean, these monkeys were stressed out. And so then they repeated the study, except this time they did one thing different. Instead of isolating the monkeys, they put two monkeys together in the same cage. And the same thing, flashing lights, loud noises, shaking the cages. And something very interesting, when they actually took the cortisol levels again, the cortisol levels in both of the monkeys were almost 50% reduced for no other reason than they weren't in there alone. And so I always tell people, especially my guys who have a tendency to isolate sometimes when they're in a bad place, it's... when you find yourself in a difficult situation, when you find yourself high anxiety or high stress, do not isolate. I mean, there's a reason why God put us in community with other believers. And actually, the way that we usually do this is you guys would be doing the scripture reading and I'd be doing the commentary. Well, there's only one that I have here today that can do that reading for me, and that's going to be Nicole. So,
Nicole, would you be willing to read for us
from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25?
And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
And so, Scripture tells us that we're supposed to stick together so that we can encourage one another, and even more in the times of the days coming of trial and tribulation. So, the question is,
guys, why
have we suspended our meeting together with the coming days of tribulation
and trial? Well,
first of all,
it's because the government has told us that that's what we need to do.
And so, Nicole, could you read for us from Romans chapter 13, verse 1?
Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God.
Hey guys, as much as I sometimes struggle with some of the things I see our government doing, I try to remember that those in authority, as Scripture says, have been placed there by God. And in the face of this viral threat, I found something to be very, very comforting that I would really like to share with you, and I'm not sure that you're aware of it, okay? And so Trump put together this coronavirus task force, and everybody was interested in who he was going to have lead that, and he had a very interesting choice. He chose Mike Pence, our vice president, and Trump was hugely criticized for that because Pence isn't really a science guy, and he's not a medical guy. And in fact, when he was governor of Indiana, he had hesitated and paused sometimes before he made some emergency, like medical-type decisions. And the thing I found most interesting about that, and now most comforting, is the reason Pence was criticized, and sometimes even mocked, is because he told them in these times of crisis that before he made a decision, he would pray about it before he acted. I mean, how cool is that? We have a guy in charge of this right now that seeks God's wisdom before he consults with any of his technical advisors or experts. You think that's by coincidence? I don't think so. And then, as there's been many that have said to me along the way, well, Pastor Rod, aren't we supposed to walk by faith and not by fear? Or shouldn't we just be trusting God to keep us safe when we meet together? And the answer to that is yes and no. Because I want you to keep in mind that Satan sometimes uses a scripture to tempt us. He takes it out of context, or he twists the meaning just a little bit. And the first thing that came to mind, and I've told people before, he tried to tempt Jesus in just such a way. If you remember, so actually, let's read it. It's in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 5.
Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you."
So Jesus is tempted in just such a way. Satan says, let's put God to the test with this. You're supposed to be the Son of God. How about if we take you up on this really high place and you jump off and see if God protects you? And do you remember what Jesus' response was? Well, it's in the next verse, Matthew chapter 4, verse 7.
Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God."
Jesus says, I don't have to test God by doing something foolish. And guys, neither will we. Instead, we are going to use a prudent caution, and we're going to respect the ones that God has put in authority at just this moment in time. So, now we find ourselves in isolation. So now what? Well, the first thing that came to mind when I was reflecting on the weeks to come was another man, a man after God's own heart, who found himself in isolation, sort of a self-imposed social distancing.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, David. David went
from one day
just living the life, living in Saul's palace, and then through no fault of his own, the very next day, he is hiding in a cave, fearing for his life. So let's start today in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1.
So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there.
So here we find
this anointed of God, through no fault of his own, in this dark place, hiding and afraid.
Now, I don't know what you do with some of this, but I'm a Bible guy, and so when I read stuff like this, I kind of like to imagine myself as one of my Bible heroes, and I put myself in their place. So here in my basement, I kind of imagine myself as this young King David. Now, actually, I can imagine this just a little bit more, and I'm going to kind of share with you. Adullam was actually a cave, and it was about 12 miles from Bethlehem. Actually, we have a picture right here. And see, Bethlehem was his hometown, and when he was a young man growing up, or when he was a kid growing up and he tended the flocks, he became very, very familiar with the area. And guys, one of the things that happens, and they know this, I mean, the police know this if they're ever looking for you, is when you're in deep trouble, where you're likely to go first is back home. So be careful about doing that. But so when David's in trouble, of course, where's he going to go? He goes back to the area that he's most familiar with. And guys, we were in Israel before. I'm just going to tell you a quick story because it's cool, but a little bit, even when I think about it, it's like, I can't believe our guide actually did that to us. We went to Bethlehem, and guys, there's caves all over Israel, and some of them look really, really small from the outside, but you get inside of them and they just open up. There are these huge caves, all right? And so there was one outside of Bethlehem when we were touring there. It wasn't Adullam, but it was another one. And our guide, John, he brings us to this thing, and there's this interest, and it's like a rat hole, it's like a rabbit hole. Do you remember that, Nicole? It's not even it can't be more than this. I remember having to squeeze my shoulders together to get down in there. And he says, you know, we're going to go down in this cave. And I'm like, seriously, dude? You expect us old people to crawl down in that rat hole? And what about these ladies? And Nicole's looking at us, it was like dirty and messy. And you got inside, it was covered with dust. And it's like, oh my gosh. But it opened up and it was kind of cool in there, except it was really, really dirty. And so David knows all these places. And so when he finds himself in trouble, he runs, and he runs to this cave of Adullam, okay? And the good news is, guys, we know that there's lessons in the life of David. And David learned a few lessons while he was in the cave. And these are the lessons that we're going to spend some time with as we now find ourselves in the cave. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to take an appropriate break, as Nicole said, from the book of John. And we're going to examine the time that David was in the cave and what he went through and the lessons that he learned while he was there. And now, as I told you, I like to picture myself as stepping into Scripture and living a modern-day version of some of my Bible heroes. So bear with me now as we start into this, as I kind of step in and out of the text. So next, let's go a little bit before David ends up in the cave in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13.
So he pretended to be insane, scratching on doors and drooling down his beard.
Okay, guys, now, for those of you that have been around, and I don't know where you're at with this, but for a very, very long time now, Nicole has been warning us, and particularly me, about this coronavirus that is going to be coming to us. And unfortunately, I have to tell you, sometimes I'm a little bit slow in actually listening to her. And she's telling me, you know, God put it on my heart. God's been talking to me. And I'm like, okay, well, why isn't God talking to me about this? And whenever I say that, which I do very often, she says, well, she points me to the book of Isaiah, and it's in chapter 8, verse 3. So you want to read that one for us?
Then I slept with my wife, who was a prophet. She became pregnant and had a baby boy.
She says to me, honey, you're like Isaiah. You have a prophet for a wife. I'm like, really? Anyway, my prophet wife has been sending me to the store for quite some time now to pick up some things in ridiculous quantities that she told me were going to be in short supply, hard to come by, and that we needed to prepare for this coming season. Now, I'm glad that she did, but I can remember at the time being a little bit like Noah, building this boat, this gigantic boat, in the middle of a drought. It's like, but nobody's getting this stuff. How come we're the only ones that are preparing for this? And I wasn't like David with drool running down my beard, but I felt like it. When people are looking at me, I'm like, they must think I'm like crazy with this ridiculous amount of stuff of these particular items. So I kind of got the idea. So David kind of plays the fool, and I had to somewhere along the way. But now let's fast forward back to the cave. Okay? Let's reread 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 more time.
So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there.
So, initially David's alone in the cave. But remember, he goes back to his hometown. That's not that far. So his family finds out where he's hiding. And they come to him. Okay? Now, I'm not sure exactly how that went with them living in close quarters. But I have kind of an idea based on my own family's experience in our little cave. Now, okay, so I think we're probably a little bit ahead of many of you because of Nicole's autoimmune diseases that she has. Her doctors contacted her back on Tuesday and said, Nicole, just so you know, you really can't leave the house. And she protested that, well, what about this? What about that? What about church? And they said, no, that would be a very foolish thing for you to do. Okay? And so, guys, just so you know, we moved into the cave like on Tuesday. All right? Now, what I will tell you is, it hasn't been pretty. We are all kind of social creatures, the three of us, and when denied that social interaction and some of the things that have been happening, well, let's just say it doesn't bring out the best in us. And guys, I'll tell you one other thing. It's only been 4 days and I've already considered throwing the two of them out of the cave. And so with that kind of in mind, I'm going to kind of skip forward a couple of verses and we'll come back, but we'll actually look at verse 3, okay? Because after my experience, I'm taking it a little bit different than I did only a few days ago. So could you read that one for us, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3?
Later, David went to Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me."
Now, initially I thought, okay, well, David's doing the right thing. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take my family, I'm going to take them over here to one of my allies, the king of Moab, and say, "Can my family here stay with you? Because I don't know what God's doing all of this, and I want to keep them safe." Now, with the additional knowledge that I've known since I've been in the cave, I'm thinking, David's like, "I got to get rid of these guys." So he goes to his king buddy, and he's like, "Could you take my family and let them live with you? Because they're driving me crazy." And because I've experienced that very same thing. I'm not sure that that's exactly what it was, but it seems like that very much could be the case. Because guys, as much as I prayed over time, especially in our busy seasons, that somehow we could find some special time alone as a family, after 4 days of it, I'm already like, "Oh my gosh, Lord, I take it back. 4 days has been long enough. Maybe we should go back to our busy lives again." But the truth is, we are finding our new normal, and we're adjusting to it. We're adapting to it. And I have no doubt that in the coming days that we'll find that, and we'll start to appreciate what it is that we now have. And I'm also sure that just as with David, that there's going to be some important lessons that God will teach us while we are in the cave. Because the truth is, I know from my own personal experience in my past that God does some of his best work through our cave experiences. And I'm not just talking about the physical cave. Any situation or circumstance where we find ourselves experiencing loneliness, like we feel like we're alone, like we're in that dark place, a place of despair, and we find ourselves in great fear, any one of those places could be our cave. And out of David's time in the cave of Adullam came some of the most beautiful psalms ever written, psalms that have endured and will endure forever. And over the next few weeks, we will look at some of those cave psalms and the lessons that God taught David while he was in the cave. And I believe that they'll help to strengthen us and encourage us and perhaps give us some guidance for the times ahead when we find ourselves in the cave. And let's go back to verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2.
Then others began coming. Men who were in trouble or in debt who were just discontented. Until David was the captain of about 400 men.
See, God used David's time in the cave to grow him and to prepare him to lead and to minister to people. And when the time was right, we read that God brought him the troubled, the hurting, those who were disconnected and afraid, that he might minister to them and that he might lead them. And guys, you know what was really cool? Is that's what he started with, this ragtag group. But through David, they would be transformed by God into David's mighty men and women of valor. And guys, that's the transformation that I believe God is seeking in all of us. A transformation from men and women living in fear and darkness to mighty men and women of valor that he might use to take back his kingdom. Unfortunately, that transformation will require that we spend some time in the cave. And certainly no one looks forward to spending that time in the cave. Okay, but I do look forward to God's revelation and to God's transformation that is sure to come. And I pray that when we look back at this one day, we will all be singing God's praises for what he was able to do to and through us in this time. Amen? Amen. So, guys, we're going to move into our time of communion, and certainly we don't have to pass it out. I hope that you can partake of that where you're at right now, okay? But we're going to, and as we always do, because Scripture tells us, we're going to take a little bit of time of self-reflection before we actually do that. Scripture is very clear that we should not take communion lightly, that it should be a time where we examine ourselves before we take that. And what I'm going to suggest to you right now is, you know, I can't tell you how many times in Scripture it says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, and yet we are afraid. You know, Jesus came, part of the reason he came is so that we would never have to fear again. So we would know that we had a Savior that loved us and cared about us, was watching over us and protecting us. He went to the cross so that we wouldn't have to endure that anymore, so he could set us free from those kinds of feelings, and yet we fall back into them. And to me, that's sinful behavior, and I have to confess that sometimes to God. I say, Lord, I know I have no reason to fear because my trust is in you, and yet I still do. Please forgive me. And so I'm going to suggest right now as we self-reflect, I want you to kind of think about maybe some of the fears that you have. And I have to do the same thing because I have to tell you, I've been more than a little bit apprehensive about what things look like going forward for me and also more even for my family. And those are the times where I need to say, okay, Lord, I know better than that, and yet here's where I am. So let's just take a minute, okay, to do that, and then I'll come back up here and we'll take communion together, okay? Let's go ahead and reflect.